11:16 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted the most outstanding radio football program 2007, 10, 11 and 2013. For Ringwood Mazda, when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Quarter to 12 coming up after midday. We'll get into the crunch and we will talk plenty of issues on and off the field. We'll have a good chat too about what could be ahead postseason in terms of trading and possible players that are on the market and who could be a boom for your club, who might be a bust. That's coming up. But right now, Dyson Heppel joins us at 16 minutes to 12 after a pretty fair effort by the Bombers last night, but ultimately they fell short against North. Thanks for joining us, Dyson. Is that pretty much how you saw it?
Yeah, good on you guys. No worries. Yeah, well, I suppose, it certainly was. You know, I think we had a pretty young side in and they certainly gave a fantastic effort. But in the end, I guess a couple of periods throughout that second half cost us in the end.
Take us through the last few weeks. We know that going into last week, you had that honesty session and so forth. And then you came out and played some really good footy against Melbourne. I mean, again, it wasn't the greatest of games, but you had a win. So that must have done enormous things for the club. And then how did that sort of carry through to the week you've just had?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Look, last week was a fantastic response from the group coming off that St Kilda game. And, you know, I think the guys were able to carry that into this week as well. Just the actual effort and enthusiasm that the young boys brought to the group, I think, has been a real positive. And, you know, the more games that we can get into those younger guys, the better off we'll be for it. So, look, it's we're still remaining positive at this stage.
Dyson, it's a bit of a feather in the cap, I would say, isn't it? These days with rotations, it's very rare to get a tag, but you're copping a tag still regularly. You got Ben Jacobs last night.
Yeah, no doubt, Demi. She's, certainly not ideal copping the tag flat out. But look, it's something that I quite enjoy trying to work through that. And Benny Jacobs definitely had the better of me last night. He did a fantastic job. But, it's something that I need to get used to and something that I'm certainly working at in trying to counteract those tags. Yeah,
I must have a laugh with you, perhaps. And that is, there are certain players in the league, and we can hear from the way you even speak now, you're a fairly affable young fella and not much upsets you. You love your footy.
Yeah.
So when you get a little bit close to the man on the mark and the umpire yells, time, play it on, and you're a bit close and you get smothered and you get tackled and it's a turnover, and then the opposition run to you and try to ruffle you up, I would think there would probably be 779 other players in the league I could think would rough up a little bit dirtier than Dyson. You must have a giggle when they try and rough you up.
I do, mate. I do laugh at that kind of stuff because, those incidences don't occur too often. So, little boomer come and had a few words, which is quite funny, but all good.
you didn't think of putting one on his chin, did you?
At times you do, but no, certainly didn't.
Hey, what have you learned about the younger players? Because I think that right now, when you look at the Essendon games week to week for the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season, we're going to be looking at Laverty, and we all know Danaher, we know Gleeson a little bit. Yep. More particularly Nick O'Brien, the Merritt boys, even Kyle Langford is a high selection.
Yeah.
He's very young. What are you making of their progress?
Someone like a Zach Merritt and Jackson Merritt, those two have really developed this year, I reckon. And, their work ethic at training, the way they want to learn has been outstanding. Someone like Nick O'Brien is a real leader for his young age as well. And, I think he's played some outstanding footy and, he did a good job on Nathan Jones last week and played a bit on Cunnington. And so he's getting great experience there. And you've got, players like Sean Edwards, who has been a bit of a live wire for us up forward in the past couple of weeks. And I definitely think he's showing signs. So, there's certainly some exciting young prospects coming through.
What do you make of the move of Cale Hooker forward? I know that he's attracting some ball and he's getting some really good opportunities and some good looks, but I think most defenders let you down, Derm and Dyson, when they get their chance to put it through the big sticks and they fail. I mean, kicked 1-4 last night, made a meal of the one at the top of the goal square with Joe Danaher, the handball over the top.
Yeah.
Is it just part of the process? Do you just have to wear that at the moment, or do you need to reset that one?
Yeah, no, I think it is certainly part of the process, as you say. Look, he's an outstanding contested mark. He presents well at the ball, and we obviously know he's an all-Australian defender, so outstanding back there. But I think it's given him another string to his bow. And as you say, if he can start finishing off more of his opportunities, then he becomes an absolute weapon for us. So, I think we persevere with that and hopefully can capitalise over the coming weeks.
Yeah, with Cale Hooker, we spoke about it last night, King Ian.
Yep.
It's almost like if somebody's a little bit slow, like a half a second slower getting the ball out of the hand onto the boot,
yep,
sometimes they can be got at in the forward line under pressure when they're going for a snap. But I wanted to ask you about Jonathan Giles. McKernan, yep, has done a good job since he's come in. The club contracted Jonathan Giles as a backup ruckman should something, yep, go wrong. They lost Paddy Ryder. Things have gone wrong, and McKernan's done a pretty good job, but he's fatiguing now.
And he's 196 centimetres.
So. Yeah, so why won't the club play Jonathan Giles?
Well, look, there's, you know, I think the efforts that Shawnee McKernan has shown over, you know, the early stages playing VFL, probably it was his follow-up work and his work around the ground that probably put him ahead of Big Jono. As I said, there's a couple of things in Jonathan's game that he needs to work on, and he's certainly doing that, and he is playing some strong footy in the VFL and ticking the right boxes. So he will get his opportunity at some stage, and I certainly think Shawnee will need a chop out at some stage as well. So, as you say, Shawnee McKernan's in front of him at this stage of the game, but Joff is still working hard and will get his opportunities.
What about Tate Pearce? He's another one in that mould. I just haven't, yep, seen him for some time. I know he's played a lot of VFL football this year. I think he's only missed a couple of games for, yep, the season. Where's he at, and why haven't we seen him on the main stage?
Yeah, well, Pearce, he's starting to string a few games together now. He has had little niggling injuries and whatnot, as he has throughout his whole career. But, look, he's starting to get a bit of consistent form back in the VFL and playing. I reckon he played a bit up forward, and now they're swinging him back today. So they're trying him in a variety of positions. But look, he's really just got to find a bit of consistent form, and he'll get a look in as well. But as you say, look, he's another one that if we can get playing some good footy, then you know that's another damaging player for our side. So it's important for those guys to find some form.
He's not a bad player, Tate Pearce, but and I'm not trying to be scurrilous here, but I'm tipping, yeah, he hasn't succeeded up forward because there's a gig up there for someone if you can kick a goal or two at Essendon. Hey, speaking of the forward line then, Paddy, yep, Ambrose. I'm a rap for Paddy Ambrose.
Yeah, for sure.
But what we really need to see from Paddy Ambrose is the ability to draw and attract the footy. Everything he does is super. He is a hard kid. He's real good fitness. He's real good size. But everything he does is hard-earned. He needs to learn how to attract the footy and probably add another 6 disposals to his game per match. So the opposition say, we don't want it going to him. Because at the moment, for all that hard work, he's not all that dangerous in the front end.
Yeah, well, you're spot on, mate. Look, he's an outstanding, selfless role player for our side and someone that you want to go out onto the field to play with because he's an absolute hard nut. But, as you say, if Paddy can find a way to get a few extra touches and, impact scoreboards and
things
like that.
Do you talk to him? Do you talk to him about how to, I'm not saying you do it, but because I think everything you do is hard-earned, but plump up his stats almost?
He's never had more than 20 disposals.
The guys certainly have spoken to him and try and work with him in that regard, but I guess that's Paddy's natural game, that he just loves that aggressive and hard style of game that he's certainly not one that bases his game on possession. So
there's no need to. We're in his position. Yeah. I really think you've got a couple of when you get it sorted out, you can have a couple of tools. You need a third forward who attracts the ball, can lead up at the ball carrier, and it can be pinged to him, so he's a magnet for the ball also, and it separates the backman.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a good call, and Paddy's got a massive engine, so he certainly does have the ability to be able to do that, and hopefully we can get that out of him over the next the rest of the season.
Dyson, obviously heard he's had an interesting week again. Was anyone having any fun with it yet to do with bikes, or was it a bit too raw at this stage?
Don't worry, boys. No, there's certainly been a bit of fun had about it all, so. And there'll be plenty more to come, I think. So it's a bit of a laugh.
Did you notice any ill effects last night, Dyson?
No, I think it was no worries. So recovered well from it.
When, mate, final one for me. When does it end? I hope never. I hope you end up looking like the bloke out of at a rescue on there. What was his name? Who had Wilson, the ball? What was that called? That castaway. Yeah. I hope your hair grows down. You look like a mugwump. I hope it ends up 3 feet long. When will it end?
I don't know. I don't think it will. Until I start receding, then it will. But
and you might end up like Dunstall, a little bald spot right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's a good look.
Dyson, thanks for your time.
Good on you guys.
Good effort from the team last night. Obviously, just fell short, but thanks for being with us.
Beauty. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Dyson Heppel, as the SMS said, he's a beauty, Heppel.
I couldn't believe when Boomer went to him and said, "Are you stuffed up, mate?" and went to elbow him. And he would have looked at him and gone, "Yeah, I know."
He's very surfy like,
isn't he? He's horizontal, isn't he? Yeah.
Do you reckon he's been media trained by Terry Danaher?
He's very relaxed. That sort of person would be almost impossible to have a go at, in a media sense.
He's too good a bloke.
On a serious note, though, he is fighting a tough battle at the moment, isn't he? Because he is getting hard tagged.
Without stars.
One of the few still getting it.
They're without
it?
Stars, aren't they, Dan? They're just down so many good players at the moment that he's fighting a one-man war.
So because, once again, you go back to the state of our game. Mm. The teams that are at the top, and it's because you can always have, in the past, you've had stars in some teams, but the teams haven't gone very well. But right now, all the stars are in the top teams. They separate great play out of the quagmire of what is these big congested plays. And they just lack for stars at the moment.
I only had 3 clearances, Dyson. And I think that's something you'll walk away from the game and say, you know what? I know Goldstein was going to... I think it's easier when you know one of the ruckman's going to win the tap. When you're not sure who's going to win it, it can be a random event. Uh-huh. But I think you'll walk away and say, maybe I should have been after Goldstein's sharking his hit more often than not. 3 is just not enough for Dyson. That's why he only had 16 touches last night.
Quick call from Chris in Dingley before we come back with the crunch. G'day, Chris.
Hi, all. Just a comment about the step up from the lower levels of Australian rules to AFL and the difficulties involved. In the NFL in America, they have an even worse problem.
Yep.
And if you actually look at this, it's probably a problem in most parts of the world, probably not European football because there are so many levels and a tiered structure. But what I see is the way that football codes have improved, I put that in air quotes, in the last 20 years, all over the world, I'm a student of most sports, is defensive athleticism is about the only thing that really has changed. Sorry, I've got my I've got my son in the back. defensive athleticness is the only thing that's really gone through the roof, and it's changed every game. In the NFL, at a college level, if you actually watch what quarterbacks do, picking a quarterback in the draft from college football is such a lottery because the sheer difference in offensive athleticism between the two grades means that in that level, when a ball's thrown by the quarterback, because even a 0.2 over 20 yards, 0.1 over 20 yards from a difference from a member of the secondary, for example, will make such a difference. And so you can throw to a wide open man. Whereas at the top level, the quarterback doesn't look for anybody open. He throws somebody open. He actually puts it to somebody's shoulder when he sees a slight movement, a weight on one foot. And they've got around that by bringing some footballers in from other American football leagues, specifically Canada's the main one, where they're not obviously not as good as NFL players, but defensively they're more athletic than the college system is. For them to sort of train, so the camp guys, the combine guys, actually train against an intermediate level.
Yeah, you also have the scenario, Chris, too, where at college level it is a slightly different game. It's more accented on the attacking nature of it. Hence, they get monster crowds at the varsity, at the stadiums, and at the college
level. That's because
level.
They don't have local footy either. Yeah. Once your college system is finished, you don't drop back to Diamond Valley.
No,
go and watch the team you
played
for.
There ain't anything else.
There's nothing else.
No, and I've always wondered about that, the Americans, whether they should have their own little semi.
Too many people involved. The teams are just too big.
A lot of helmets to buy.
A lot of helmets. A lot of padding.
But in America, I mean, it's coming up now. The Little League's on TV, on ESPN too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's incredible.
You can play. depending on your anatomical structure, you can play lingerie league.
It's midday here on Crunch Time. After the break, we talk about all the issues on and off the field. It won't be just about the state of the game. There'll be lots of issues regarding your club. We'll take a break. But thanks to Ringwood Mazda, this is Crunch Time.